Welcome to Office Hours with Adam Peterson, where I talk to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts to find answers to those day-to-day questions about life and work in Luxembourg. If you have questions you'd like answered, let me know at adam.peterson@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn. But for now, on to today's show. It's the business equivalent of dating. The hiring process is where we choose who we will spend the majority of our waking lives with. But how do different companies decide to swipe left or right? And what are the traps to avoid and the hacks that can help you land your dream job? To help me answer these questions and more, I'm joined by Guy Kerger, founder and managing partner at Mindforest. Welcome, Guy.
Yeah.
And Angel Carmes, senior recruiter at Aztec.
Hi, nice to meet you.
So let's just start, understand a little bit about your companies and who you're recruiting for. So Guy, can you tell me a little bit about Mindforest?
Yeah, Mindforest is a consulting company here in Luxembourg, and we are specialized in change management. So our role is, in fact, to help companies which are in a transformation process, to help, in fact, the people to understand this transformation and also to be an active part in this transformation process.
So I'm running a company and I'm about to do a reorganization, or I'm going to introduce a new product line. I would then come to Mindforest and say, hey, help me get through this, get the people on board with the change.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. So these kind of things, and also mergers of companies or big IT changes, we take care of the people.
And how many people are in Mindforest?
About 20.
20, all based in Luxembourg?
All based in Luxembourg, yeah.
Angel, Aztec, what do they do?
Wow, a lot of things. Aztec Group is, I would say, a financial services provider. We are specializing in serving the funds industry or the alternative investment funds, and we are quite recognized on the private equity sector. Our headquarters are in Jersey, and globally we are about 2,000 employees.
But the headquarters are in Jersey, but most of your people sit?
Here in Luxembourg we are 700, so it makes us the biggest office by number of employees.
Yep.
But we also have offices so in Jersey, Guernsey, London, Southampton, Ireland, and in the US.
Jersey and Guernsey?
Yes, both.
Okay. I don't quite understand the logic of that, but that's for a different show. So we know a little bit about the companies, a little bit about what they do. So let's just get into this topic of hiring then. What type of profile do you look for within Aztec? Do you hire junior, senior, everything?
Everything, I would say, but mostly juniors, if we are honest, because we try to really promote and make our people grow. So we are just building by the base. Our two main services are fund accounting and fund administration. So we are recruiting a lot of accounting people and administration people as well. In addition to that, we also have depository and tax services, so we are also recruiting this.
Okay. And how many people typically in a year would you bring on?
Here in Luxembourg, I had a check, and last year we recruited about 300 people.
300, wow.
Yeah, so it's
huge.
A
big operation. So, Guy, you're only, was it 20 people in a year?
Yeah.
20 people, so you're not recruiting 300 a year. So how many?
Yeah, not yet. We're working on that, but not yet.
How many would you typically recruit within a year?
Between 4 to 6. So that depends a lot on the years. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've got I would call Aztec a medium size kind of organization. My background, if you obviously check LinkedIn, Amazon, BP, massive multinational. So we cover the three different size of companies between us. So let's step through and see what the differences are in the process. So how does it start? If someone wants a job with Aztec, what's the first steps that would happen?
Sending their CV. Yes.
Normally via the website. Do you hire via LinkedIn as well, the easy apply stuff?
Both. Either by LinkedIn, either by the website. It's working perfectly well.
Okay. And a cover letter.
Cover letter. You can obviously send one, but if I'm completely honest, we tend to read them less than, I would say, 10 years ago. Okay. So yeah, we prefer to talk to people rather than just reading letters.
Mindforest?
Yeah, people are mostly, because we are well known here in Luxembourg, so people know Mindforest, and then they say, I heard about you, I want to come to Mindforest to work with you. They just call up, and then we ask to send us some documentation in order to, or a link, just a LinkedIn link to see what they've done so far. And then when we are looking more precisely for a person, then we post on LinkedIn, and then we see what's coming in.
So you're using LinkedIn effectively as their CV, right?
Yeah, in order to have a guidance and to know who we are talking to, but it's only a small part of the process.
Yeah, one of the topics you get on LinkedIn quite a lot is that relevant for LinkedIn? People posting more stuff about their family and political stuff. What I'm hearing is if companies are using it for your professional life, make sure it's keep it professional on there.
Yeah, but I must say I don't look at all these things you just mentioned. It's just to see, okay, what's the person has been, because most of the people we are recruiting are seniors.
Yeah.
And so we want to see what is the experience the person had in the past. So in order to have a conversation with the person on some topics, okay.
You're not going through and checking which post they've liked. And
no, that's of no interest at that time.
So you've got a CV, you're interested in it. What happens next?
Then usually we do some HR screening. So having at least a call or a team meeting. And then if they are good, we are sharing the CVs and the profile with hiring managers. And then they got some interviews with a hiring team.
What's the fall-off rate? So if you think about the number of CVs you get versus the ones you put forward.
Wow. So for a junior position, I would say that I can receive like 100, 150 CVs. Usually we go through like 15, 20 max, depending on...
So it's about a 10%-ish get through that screening phase.
Yeah.
And much be much higher with Mindforest, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but in fact, when we're receiving CVs, we check internally what could be the role of that person. So how that person could, or what is the role internally we have who creates value with that person. And based on that in match that could be there, then we go on with the process. Concerning the number of CVs, when we are launching a campaign on LinkedIn, though, we get hundreds of CVs, but there's a lot of things which are not worth it. Mm. And then we normally end up with 15 CVs, which are fitting our criteria, and it depends on the quality of the CVs we end up with then an interview session.
So you're this sounds quite similar. So you're ending up with about 15 CVs for every post. So you're taking about 15 CVs to the hiring manager. Is that?
Yeah, it's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Great. Then I remember my last time I actually hired for Amazon, I got to that stage. The next thing I had to do was some online maths tests. And I must admit, I found them incredibly stressful because I hadn't done quickfire tests since I was at school, so for 20 odd years. Do you do those sorts of things?
At Aztec, we don't do any specific tests like math test or English test or whatever else. I can just mention that for senior profile, like senior manager directors, they have to do a business case at some point. But that's it, no logical test.
Okay, and that business case, would that be before the first face-to-face or the first online interview?
No, it would be
later in the process.
It would be the last stage of interview. So usually at Aztec, we always have two steps of interview. First, I would say technical skills interview, and then what we call a cultural fit interview. To be sure that they are fitting within our culture and company values. And then for the seniors, managers and directors, there is this business case, what we call panel interview. They have to prepare like a 10-minute presentation on a specific topic that we are giving in advance. And then they got some question about that.
Okay, so let's just, you've raced us through the process. Let's just go step by step. So Aztec, there's a technical interview, there's a like a leadership principle type interview for the cultural fit, and then another one. How many rounds of interviews would someone have with
We have three. We had always two, so which are very similar. So the first one is really to see if technically the person is fit for what we are looking for. And in this interview, there's on one hand is our HR manager, but there's also somebody from the team where the person is working. Later on to see that. And the second interview, before the second interview, we do a DISC test. So it's personality test.
You do.
In order to have a discussion point on saying, okay, you are more an introverted person or more an extroverted person. But both are good. So I mean, we just have to see how the person going to fit in the team. And then the second interview is more on culture, which is for us the most important one. Because we believe if somebody is lacking a little bit of competences we need, we can train the person. But if the culture doesn't fit, we can't do anything about it. So the culture thing is the most important one we want to see. And the third interview is there. We had already taken a decision. So normally we have said to the person that we would like to work with her with, and also we have discussed a little bit about the position she gonna have. And there we reconfirm that we had a common understanding on what we are expecting in that position, and also vice versa. She knows exactly what she will get.
Yeah. Excellent. There's a few things I want to jump into there in the second half, particularly around that disc analysis. I just want to slow down a little bit though. So on the test, you don't do. Amazon had a written test as well. So for their senior managers, I had to do a written test because the writing culture is quite important there. I must admit, and I'll be honest, I don't think it's massively valued, the maths test, on one hand, because it was very quick problem solving. Mm-hmm. And the reality in work life for me is you don't do lots and lots of quick sums. You try and work out data, missing data, like hard problems. So I didn't feel it was massively useful. But then on the other hand, you'd be sitting there in a meeting and you'd be looking at some numbers that someone would be talking about and you're thinking, they're not right. They don't make sense. So something around number intuition in a company, I think is useful, but I'm not convinced how important those tests really work. So we've been through that. We then get to the first interview. First interview is both a skills-based interview, I think, for both of them.
Yeah.
How would you judge a skills-based interview for someone who's into change management?
Yeah, the person has to talk about her experience, like I explained in detail what the person has done. And there is already a tricky part for the person in order not to be too evasive on the things the person has done and really get into the right stuff which has been done.
The companies I've worked for use an approach in interviewing which effectively says if you've done something in the past, you're more likely to do something in the future. So the type of questioning goes, tell me about a time when you have, and then inserts company leadership principle here. So tell me about a time when you have shown courage, and then you're looking for someone to give specifics about when they have done something in the past. Is that an approach you use, or is your cultural fit interviewing different to that?
No, it's rather similar because, as you said, it's difficult to like kind of judge on the company's culture. But still, if the person is able to show some example, because obviously we cannot go in the past and see what they really done. But if they can show some example on, I don't know, like a courage, as you said, or leadership skills, or management skills, training, etc., it's quite helping to assess properly the candidate, I would say.
We are also going mainly through examples. So if the examples we get from the person are trustful, they are also, there we see how the person is aligned with how we work and or how we want to work, if the person works the same way, and also how the person reacted in different kind of situations. Because as we are in change management, so we are dealing with people, so it's very emotional normally. And so it's important how the person was triggering all the process.
So I was a hiring manager a lot in the past, not a recruiter. But one of the pieces of advice I would give people ahead of an interview is do your research, go and look at the company, work out what their leadership principles are, values and behaviours, what they value, and then make sure you've got a story that links to each of those values. So when they tell me about a time that such and such, am I giving people good advice or bad?
No, you do. I have so many examples of people, and I'm sorry to say, but mostly juniors who come to interviews being completely unprepared. They don't remember for which position it was. They don't know anything about ASTEC or the team, or I don't know, anything. And it's kind of a red flag for me.
I agree completely to that. If I want to work for a company, I have at least to know where I'm going. And a lot of interviews, they don't know anything about our company, or they have just read the first page on the internet. They have not digged in. They have no understanding on the words we're using. And that's completely a red flag.
So now we know a bit more about the process. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into some of the TUIA questions.
If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. Hi, everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and I'm the host of Mom Life in Luxembourg. From creches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Grand Duchy. Grand Ducal? Be sure to tune in and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Where there is judgment, there is noise, and more of it than you think. That's a quote from Noise, A Flaw in Human Judgment, written by the pioneers of behavioral economics, Danny Kahneman and Cass Sunstein. It includes phenomena such as judges are more likely to grant parole shortly after they've eaten. The central message of the book is that human decision-making, and they dedicate a chapter to hiring, isn't as good as you think. So welcome back to the show. In part one, we looked at the process of hiring. In part two, we'll look at some of the chewier questions. And I want to start off with, does interviewing actually work? Do we end up with good decisions?
Interviews are the best thing to do, and we prefer having interviews in presence and not by visio in order to see also the personality. So for example, in our interviews, the person is alone or comes, is accompanied by the secretary, and the secretary is also asking questions which are defined, but which are not considered as being in the interview. So we see already how the person is acting with other colleagues, with other future colleagues.
So in the role that you're hiring for, people are trying to get companies address change, which companies don't like. So that impersonal influencing skills are really important, is what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
And do you do online interviews or are they all face-to-face for Aztec?
If you ask me my personal opinion, I do prefer physical interviews or face-to-face interviews. But in today's reality, we are doing a lot of online interviews because this is more practical, and also because since COVID, people are getting used to do a lot of things in Visio.
Yeah, and in some ways, I do some work on productivity, and in some ways it makes it easier. The risk is you actually end up doing more interviews and more lower quality interviews as opposed to getting fewer people in person. So there's a paradox there that it may not be as efficient as you think.
Yeah. This is a joy of life. We cannot always do what we think is the best, unfortunately.
Yeah. And you've both dodged the question I asked. So if I think back to my own career, there were two times I know I mishired. One of them, someone walked into the interview and they'd had a really good personal experience that day. Mm-hmm. And they interviewed brilliantly. And the reason was they were so pumped up by that personal experience. When they came into the job, they didn't have that energy. And in another one, I was really desperate to fill a role. I lowered my standards to get someone in. And then they didn't perform. And to be honest, I ended up like moving them to another team and giving that problem to someone else, which is really bad behavior of me. So I've had some amazing hires as well and hired some absolute brilliant people. But go on, be honest with me. There must be times that you hire people that don't work out. And how often does that happen?
It happens. I cannot lie. Hopefully not a lot, although I would have some problems. But yeah, I think, I don't know about like if I'm to percentage, I would say maybe sometimes 5% of people are mishire. Because as we said just before, we are doing online interviews and sometimes we cannot check everything. And also, as you experienced, sometimes you think a person is behaving like that, but then in reality, once they get the job, it's rather different. And then,
And sometimes the company might not be the right fit for them.
They may have made
the wrong decision by accepting it, right?
It works in both ways.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We also mishired, so it happens. It happens mostly when I did it on myself. And so as we know, one person we're hiring, normally it has been seen by 6 persons, so that helps a lot. But the last time we mishired was exactly what you're saying. We just wanted to fill the role, and so we made the person fit in the role. And
Amazon do something really good here. They have a concept of something called a bar raiser. So for every role over a certain seniority, they have someone on the interview panels whose sole job it is, do not drop your standards in hiring. And if I think back, that would have been a good practice for that company that I was in before. The other thing that Amazon do, and I think you touched on this in the break, Guy, is they do, they call it a star interviewing. So when they're doing the interview, they ask people to say the situation, the task they were carried out to be, the action, and the result. And people get really well trained at answering questions in that way. Do you find that helps as an interviewer or hinders?
In fact, it's difficult for the interviewer to make the difference between true and wrong. But we saw when we when the interview when we just get to the point. So we try to take the person out of her comfort zone. When we see that the person is too well trained for the interview, not the job, just the interview, we try to take her out of their comfort zone and really to point what she wants to do or what she has done, et cetera, et cetera. And normally there we see that it's all fake.
Yeah, I guess there's a challenge because we talked before about mistake was not being prepared enough. But then when they're too prepared, then it's hard to find out what the real person is like.
Yeah, it's true that we can face sometimes a lack of authenticity, and because now with the modern world, people have access to a lot of information and they know, as you said, more and more how to be well trained and how to answer correctly to some questions. But I agree with Guy. We should really put them out of the comfort zone and try to just inch a little corner where the person actually may answer truly and not what they think I would like them to say.
Now, I don't know if you listened, but in the first series of Office Hours, I spoke to some recruitment consultants. And one of the questions I asked them was, should you have photos on CVs or not? I gave them a quick fire question. If you're reviewing CVs, is it helpful to have photos on or not?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because they are all fake.
There you go. People say AI will make you more efficient. Actually, it just creates more noise downstream from someone reading the AI. I want to return to another point that Guy made in the first half. So you mentioned you do DISC, and I've forgotten what DISC stands for.
DISC is, in fact, to check what is it more a dominant person or more another person. It's more if it's more looking for influence, and it's if there's a person with steadiness in her work. And the last one is consistency. So is she working in detail in what she's doing?
I think you're using this, or do you use this, to make sure that your team is complementary so you have different styles that can work together?
That's the main reason. So once a time somebody told me if there are two persons in a room which have the same opinion and work in the same way, there's one too much. So and we are working a lot in to have teams which are complementary but are not the same. So and DISC helps us to get that, but right. Also to have the teams working together.
Yeah, I can see when you're doing smaller number of hiring, mm-hmm. that you've in some ways got the time and space to go through that level of detail and build those complementary teams. I must commend you as well that all the way through this interview, you're always talking about hiring her. You haven't defaulted to the male gender. So you are an inclusive hire, which is great to see. How in Aztec, you're doing 300 a year. How do you make sure that you end up with diverse skills as opposed to 300 clones? And then you've got 299 too many people in the same room.
Also, I would say when you have some volume, it's easy to get diversity because let's be honest, Luxembourg is tiny. We cannot have 300 same people here. We are also a very international company. We have more than 75 different nationalities here. So it brings by itself some really good diversity. And as well, from the recruitment side, we try not to have like 15 same CVs to present to the hiring managers of the team, but also to bring diversity from the beginning to try to have something more diverse in the end.
So when you're taking those 150 CVs down to 15 to hand to the hiring manager as the recruiter, you're going to make sure there's a diverse slate of people going forwards.
I would say a diversity of background first, but I'm not like counting how many women or how many men or how many, I don't know, French, Belgian, Pakistani, Indian, whatever nationalities. But at least first diversity of background to avoid having clones.
Yeah.
And hopefully it also bring diversity in terms of gender or nationalities as well.
And do you have targets or quotas on any protected characteristics such as gender?
Not really. Although we try to have like a gender equivalence, I would say. But we try and we cannot always do it. Yeah.
So you measure gender balance across the organization, but we don't have any targets within the recruiting process.
Correct.
Okay. Last question I've got would be, what would be your number one tip for someone who's about to go into an interview process?
The most important thing we try to find out in an interview is that the person is herself and is enthusiastic about the work the person has been performing in the past or want to perform in the future.
And I guess they're connected. So you're saying be authentic and be enthusiastic about the company and the role you're going into. And if you fake the enthusiasm for the company, then it's going to be clear that you're not authentic and you're not going to get through the interview. Great advice.
I agree with authenticity or honesty, I would say, because in the end, especially in Luxembourg, which is a tiny village, everything show up and we all finally have the truth. So I have some example of people lying in.
We'll catch it with you.
We catch the truth. So this is the first one. I would say be authentic or be honest. And maybe a second one, but maybe mostly for juniors, if I may say, is also build and strong a little bit your language skills, especially here in Luxembourg. It's a really key. I have seen so many candidates sometimes who are not really able to speak good English. In nowadays, it's like not possible, I would say, to get a job, especially here in Lux.
And are there other languages that are important? English is important.
At Aztec, I would say English, but then it also depends on the company. Like if you want to work, I don't know, for the Spurkes, maybe Luxembourgish or German would be an asset as well. Depends on the companies that you're targeting.
Thank you very much. And that's all we've got time for. So we've been into some interesting topics there. So we've had some tips and also a couple of glimpses at horror stories. So I want to say thank you to my guests. So first of all, thank you to Angèle for coming in. If people would like to contact you, what would be the best way?
So they can definitely find my LinkedIn account. And if they wish to apply to Aztec, they can apply through LinkedIn as well or through the website.
Okay, and Guy?
It's the same, the website and also the LinkedIn account.
Thank you very much. And thank you to the listeners.